So today we're back at it with the podcast. We've got some new stories to report on regarding COVID-19 that are much more interesting than the events that were occurring yesterday. And so I really hope you guys enjoy this episode. We're going to speak on two subjects today that interest me greatly. The first being about something that I predicted would happen with technology, that we would eventually need to put some more restrictions on or really ask ourselves some important privacy questions. And the other is something that I did not predict and that ultimately saddened me. And that is regarding the Democratic primaries in the United States of America. So as always, I will be your host for today's podcast. My name is Kevin Hobie, and this is the only podcast hosted by me. And you are listening to
A Mention with Kevin.
So let's begin with the podcast today. Everybody is using this app. You've probably heard your friends using it as students. Maybe some coworkers have been using it for business meetings. Or you've even heard about these video call parties that are going on. Yes, if you haven't clued in already, I'm talking about the app Zoom. It's a video conferencing app that allows people to make video conference chats with one another or in groups. And it's been really popular amidst this COVID-19 era. Yes, Zoom video communications is the subject of today's story. And actually, they were just slapped with a class action lawsuit by one of its own shareholders today, accusing the video conferencing app of overstating its privacy standards and failing to disclose that its service was not end-to-end encrypted. Their shareholder, Michael Drew, claimed in a court filing that a string of recent media reports highlighted the privacy flaws in Zoom's application have led to the company's stock plummet, which had rallied for several days in the beginning of the year and then shattered into a plummet. The company's shares closed down about 7.5% at $113.75. On Tuesday, they have lost nearly one-third of their market value since touching record highs in late March. Zoom's executive chief officer, Eric Yuan, last week apologized to users saying that the company had failed short of the company's privacy and security expectations and was taking steps to fix the issues. Zoom has been trying to plug security issues as it signs up millions of new users from across the world as people are focused to work from home after lockdowns were enforced to slow down the spread of coronavirus. So what is so alluring about Zoom? Well, unlike Skype or some other video chatting conference calling apps, Zoom allows you to use its software and services just through an internet tab. And so it makes it a lot simpler and easier for many users to use. However, the company is facing a lot of backlash from users worried about the lack of end-to-end encryption of meeting sessions and quote-unquote Zoom bombings where uninvited guests crash into meetings. Yes, you probably heard about them going on for many weeks now, people entering chats that are not supposed to, yelling racial slurs, sending inappropriate video messaging, or posting things into the chat group text messaging service and disrupting any meeting that they join. And so this has been a real problem because of these Zoom bombers going into these private chat meetings that could be business related or they could be school related and then wreaking havoc in those settings. One of the examples that I heard is of a dissertation that was being presented by a young man applying for his doctorate and a Zoom bomber coming in there and yelling profanity while he was presenting, which really ruined the pace of how everything was going. Elon Musk's rocket company SpaceX even recently banned its employees from using Zoom, citing significant privacy and security concerns. So if you don't already know, I have kind of been skeptical of Zoom for quite a while. I've seen them kind of come up, and I understood that it was becoming very popular with many people. Personally, in my offices, I've used Skype in the past and Microsoft Teams that seem a little bit more stable and business-friendly and encrypted into those regards. So I haven't personally been able to use Zoom or try it out, but what I've heard is it's quite easy to use. The thing that kind of gets me suspicious, and usually does about these apps, is asking the question, where are they developed, and where their servers lie, and where is the region that the company is located in? And it has been discovered by a couple of reporters that Zoom actually has part of its company owned by individuals in China, and they host some of their servers in China as well. So unfortunately, in these times, with that going on, privacy laws being very lax in China in order for their government to spy on their people, it's probably not the best idea to invite a video chatting software into your home that is monitored by a Chinese company. Now, I'm not saying that all Chinese companies are like this, but for the most part, they have been under the control of their government. And so it does raise a lot of suspicions and red flags. And so it'll be interesting to see where these court rulings go from here, how much that Zoom will lose in its court case and its legal battles to come. And it'll be interesting to see if people will continue to use this service. Personally, I'm more of a Google kind of guy. So I use Hangouts. Facebook also has a service that you can use video chatting with. And of course, there's always Skype and Teams. And so I'm going to keep using those apps, and I will ask you guys to be wary if you're using Zoom at this moment. Moving on to our second piece of news, and this is interrelation to the US Democratic nomination, and particularly into the candidate of Bernie Sanders. Unfortunately, today, Wednesday, April 8th, 2020, Bernie Sanders ended his presidential bid, and an acknowledgement that the former vice president is too far ahead of him to have any reasonable hope of catching up. So Sanders advised his campaign staff of the decision in a morning conference call, and then gave a virtual news conference to media and supporters, bowing out in a speech that contained references to Nelson Mandela and Martin Luther King Jr., and addressed the COVID-19 pandemic. As I see the crisis gripping the nation, exacerbated by President Trump, I cannot in good conscience continue to mount a campaign that cannot win, he said. While falling short of the nomination a second time, the progressive Sanders said it was clear for his followers help win the ideological struggle over the future of the Democratic Party. Together, we have transformed American consciousness as to what kind of nation we can become, and have taken the country into a major step forward in the never-ending struggle for economy or economic justice, he said. And so it's with sadness that I say that Bernie Sanders has conceded the race to the nomination for the Democratic, ballot for president. Joe Biden will obviously be taking up the lead with that, and he will be the presidential nominee for the Democrats this November 2020. As you guys probably know from my reporting, Sanders did suffer a heart attack in late 2019, but put himself in a position to compete for the nomination in what had been a crowded field of strong results in Iowa, New Hampshire, and Nevada. But he saw his hopes for the nomination slip away in March after a series of wins for Biden. Now the presumptive nominee to challenge Donald Trump, who Sanders characterized as the most dangerous president in modern American history. In a series of tweets, Biden actually congratulated Sanders on the race he ran, praising him for a movement that is as powerful today as it was yesterday. In a separate statement, Biden also praised Sanders and promised his ideas would be incorporated into his own for the White House run. I see you, I hear you, and I understand the urgency of what it is we have to get done in this country, Joe Biden said to Sanders supporters. I hope you will join us. You are more than welcome you're needed. Saunders had faced pressure to bow out both due to the results and the pandemic, which had upended the Democratic race and also raised the question about voting for the general election, which is still scheduled for November 3rd, 2020. Saunders reacted angrily to court rulings that saw the Wisconsin primary proceed, saying his campaign wouldn't engage in traditional get-out-the-vote efforts in the state due to the health concerns about the coronavirus. So it's a little bit more sting to the wound, with this salt to the wound, I mean, to see Saunders say something like this, because Saunders was very adamant that he did not want his people to cause a health concern to themselves by going out and possibly being transmitted the disease through contact in the voting polls. And so we could kind of see how great a leader Saunders would have been. He's caring for his people. He cares about their well-being, about their jobs, about their livelihoods, their lifestyles. And so it's sad to see this. Somebody who actually cares about the health of their supporters. So Saunders congratulated Biden, and he kind of gave, you know, one last little nudge at him and called him a decent man. Bernie Sanders initially exceeded sky-high expectations about his ability to recreate the magic of his 2016 presidential bid. He did find himself unable to convert unwavering support from progressives into a viable path to the nomination amid electability fears fueled by questions about whether his democratic socialist ideology would be palatable to the general election voters. Saunders, through his campaign, used strong polling and solid fundraising, collected almost entirely from small donations made online to more than quiet early doubters. Like the first time, he attracted widespread support from young voters and was able to make new inroads within the Hispanic community, even as his appeal with the African Americans remained small. Again, it's hard to see Saunders leave the race. If you look at some of the data that was presented on this Democratic nomination race, Bernie Sanders actually had the least amount of funding from private funds, from companies. Joe Biden was kind of in the middle of the pack. Obviously, Mike Bloomberg had received his own funding from his own funds. But I believe it was Saunders who had a grassroots movement where he was able to get all this funding from his supporters just by donating small amounts. And because there was such a mass, he was able to build up the financial support he needed through that. And I think that it was far greater a movement and far greater a campaign than any of these other candidates could perform. Ultimately, it showed that he could not be bought by companies or corporations, but he was there for the people, and the people were there for him. As if with that address, Saunders today pointed to something overwhelming: support for his candidacy among young voters. He said, "The future of this country is with our ideas." And ultimately, this kind of gives me hope for what is to come. I think he will be able to tell his supporters to vote for Joe Biden in support of the Democratic Party. But I think this will bring rise to a new generation of politicians or just supporters out there of good politics and people who want to see justice, who want to see corporations paying the taxes that they should, for economy to be shared among all, and for everybody to have the right to basic human needs, such as healthcare, education. Obviously, food and a place to live is also something that was very important for him, specifically for young voters facing a very harsh housing market. And so housing was a big thing, and affordable housing at that. And so it's sad to see Saunders leave, but there is hope with the movement that he started that it will shake the nation with the new young voters that are out there. That they'll have an appreciation for this type of rhetoric and the policies that he wanted to bring in place. And maybe this might be the end of Bernie Sanders' political career. He might not run for presidency in 2024. But maybe we might see some of his ideas be brought into the White House. And so We can only hope for now and see how the future for the United States continues. I want to thank you guys so much for listening to this podcast. If you guys enjoyed this podcast, I would really encourage you guys to support it by subscribing or liking it. It just helps the algorithm. If you guys like my content, you can check me out on YouTube or Studio Kevin. I actually just posted a new video on there. And I would just like to remind you guys to continue to social distance, stay at home as much as you can, and remember to practice good hygiene by washing your hands frequently. And with that being said, don't forget to floss, brush your teeth, and I'll see you on the next episode. Good night.